Although Bill had been a full-bird colonel in the United States Army, there was only one commander in the family. Every time I called, I could hear her evil whispers poisoning Bill's ear. "Again?" that woman, Caroline, would ask. Then the sliding door would whoosh open, slam shut, a retreat to the deck, and Bill would say, "Just take it easy," or, "You get to a meeting today?" Bill out there in the snow, looking in at the females, hand raised in a situation under control type gesture. It was going on a month that Lily had been staying with her parents at their lake house in Vermont. She'd left after the window broke, after I punched the window. It had been a bad scene, ambulances and police, concerned neighbors milling in their robes. I let her go. I knew that Caroline, who I'm sure to this day is convinced that I laid hands on Lily, would do her worst to Turner. But I had faith in the colonel. Bill was a peacetime soldier. His 20 had fallen smack dab in the sweet spot between Vietnam and Desert Storm, and in his mind, somehow, that was a debt he'd never quite repay. There was no cell service at the lake house. Every time I called the landline, Bill picked up, said Lily wasn't ready to talk. Finally, I told him I'd quit drinking and joined a support group with the VA.
"So you're not drunk right now?" Bill said.
"I'm tired. The group meets early." Bill promised to relay the news. When I called the next day, he told me, "Lily's delighted you're doing that for yourself." "I'm doing it for her."
Still,
you can tell her to come home now.
It's safe.
"That's Lily's decision, son."
I allowed myself a swallow from my favorite coffee mug. It was my favorite because it angled out to a wide base that made it difficult to knock over, because there was often vodka in it instead of coffee, and because the wide base meant that the more you drank, the harder it became to reach the bottom.
"Some colonel," I said.
A few days later, Bill said, "I think I'm gonna have to put an end to this."
"End to what?"
"These talks. You calling here every night."
There was a pause, and then Bill added,
"Your belligerence, your obsession.
Let me talk to Lily.
She's afraid of you, son.
Because of the window incident?"
"The window incident?
The window incident?"
"What she says, the window incident was the least of it.
Did you tell her she made you want to kill things?"
"Someday, Lily, you're gonna make me kill something. You never said that?"
"There was a context."
Bill sighed.
"Stick with those meetings."
I called again, every few minutes, then every minute, but he wouldn't answer. In the end, Bill was the same as Lily, same as everyone. People who did not respect the covenant of human relationships, people who believed you could just hang up, walk out. When the Stolichnaya ran dry, I fetched my Bushmaster and a box of ammo, stowed them behind the bench seat of my truck, and headed north. It was blizzarding. Not far over the Vermont line, the big flakes rushed the beams like I was at warp speed, and there were star tracers in a wormhole through the galaxies. At the top of a high pass, I spotted a pair of hazards blinking on the shoulder. They belonged to one of those vehicles between a station wagon and a minivan. Two sets of expensive-looking skis were clamped into the racks. The dome light haloed a man and a woman. I watched them watch me stagger through the snow. The woman said something to the man, and the man, still watching me, said something back. At first, I didn't understand. Then I glimpsed my reflection in the paint of that car. The neck tattoo and face scar, that problem with my eyes. I motioned for the man to roll down his window.
"You okay, buddy?"
he said. He wore a turtleneck sweater and snow pants, and the woman, she had on something zippered and moisture-wicking. The man had only rolled down the window an inch or two. All the doors were locked, I caught the woman checking. She squeezed her hands tight between her thighs.
"I'm okay," I said. "Are you okay?"
Us, said the man.
"We're okay, yeah."
He seemed to think it was my turn to talk. Eventually, he told me, "We're just waiting on the plows."
"Where are you headed?"
"Nowhere,"
said the woman. The man laughed.
"Road's too slick to get down," is what she means. Think so?
I wouldn't try it.
I regarded the far end of the pass where the road that had brought us all up the mountain dropped down its backside.
Is that just you, though?
The man frowned. It's treacherous. Every year, some joker...
Nathan,
the woman said. The man turned to her, turned back to me.
But hey, he said, you be my guest.